Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Trisha's True Crime Radio, a very special edition in the middle of the day on a Tuesday, but I say any time is Trisha's True Crime Radio time. Okay, the legal goo is being poured on you right now. Opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the hosts and guests. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuths.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. In other words, my darling little crime fighters, if you get upset about something, you don't blame it on Web Sleuths, you don't blame it on Forums for Justice, you blame it on me. I take the blame. That's what I am. I'm just a big soaker-upper of blame. Okay? We'll take care of you and we'll make you happy again. Now, we're doing a very special Web Sleuths today because it's about a missing person. And every missing person deserves time in the spotlight. They deserve to have their case highlighted. And, you know, there are thousands and thousands of missing people that you don't hear about. Now, if you live in the Portland, Oregon area, you may have heard about Mark Driven. It's been quite a while, but we're going to spotlight Mark today because one of his family members, his cousin, Linus Kay from Web Sleuths, is going to be joining us here in just a moment. But it happened in Portland, Oregon. It was over the 4th of July weekend in 1999. 42-year-old Mark Driven vanished. He just vanished. Police believe Mark is dead, and he was killed in a violent manner. So to help us along with this story is Linus Kay from Web Sleuths. Welcome, Linus Kay. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi.
Hi. Now, Mark's father, Ken, I've had several conversations with him, and what a wonderful man. He was going to join us, but he just can't. He sends his apologies. He is a wonderful person, but he can't bear to talk about his son and all the horrific details of his disappearance. I don't blame him one single bit. Now, he tried to come on the show the first time we tried to do the show about Mark back in October. And shortly before the show was supposed to air, Ken came down with a terrific migraine headache. And I'm sure it was just the pressure, just the thought of going through the gruesome details again, knowing that your son was murdered and you don't know where he is, you don't know where the body is, you don't know what happened. It's just too much. And this poor gentleman is in his 80s. So I don't blame him one bit. The fact that he is still functioning, to me, is what I admire most, because I don't think I could. But I will quote to you from an interview he gave to Fox 12 back in 2011. Ken said, "You know, the biggest loss a person can have is losing a child, and under these circumstances, with no closure, no justice, no anything. It takes a toll on all three of us, my wife, Terry, which is his son, and myself." And that was from 2 years ago, and he still has nothing new to grasp onto. No new clues, nothing. However, Web Sleuths does have a thread going about his son, Mark. And we're going to talk about Mark's case a little bit today, maybe stir up a little interest, and who knows, maybe something will happen. Now, Linus Kay, you are Mark's cousin, but you didn't really, you saw him the last time, 1999, you were quite young when you saw him, but let's kind of go back before that. I'm sure you've learned a lot about Mark Driven since then, and what can you tell us about Mark? What kind of guy was he?
He was a really sweet guy, but Kenny and Mark are both my cousins. I've seen Kenny, I call Ken Kenny, that's how I know him as a family. I've seen him more recently than I have Mark. I've seen Kenny within the last couple of years. But Mark, I probably hadn't seen at family get-together since I was a little kid, but very nice guy. I'm not sure exactly what details of the case I should get into. I can tell you some of the things that have been posted about him.
Well, let's do that. Let me just stop you right there. We'll talk about what's been posted, but if you can, and I don't want you to break any confidences or anything, but if you can offer any details, I want them all. I want as much as you can possibly give. But let's talk about what is posted at Web Sleuths about Mark Driven in our Missing But Not Forgotten. Tell us the circumstances and just talk to us about what happened and what we know so far about Mark's disappearance.
Okay, well, what I do know is that Mark was working as a baggage handler for United Airlines that 4th of July weekend, And apparently he called off work, requesting the night off, saying that he had a personal emergency. Mark, my family is Jewish, and Mark was apparently in a gay relationship, but this was kind of frowned on back in the 1990s, so it wasn't openly discussed so much. So unfortunately, we don't know who Mark was seeing at the time, but what seems to be the prevalent theory is that Mark was killed possibly by a jealous lover, or that's what the personal emergency was, that that he was meeting with this person and it didn't go well, it didn't go planned. Maybe Mark was planning on ending a relationship or something. There's some discrepancy as to whether Mark was last seen on July 2nd at his home or July 3rd at a bar in the Portland area. But he never made it back to work on July 5th. So either July 2nd or July 3rd is when he went missing. There was blood spatter on the walls of his apartment, and his car was found 2 weeks later in a different area.
And that's pretty much all we know, isn't it?
It is.
And imagine, everybody, since 1999, that's all we know. Now, Linus, can you tell us, did Ken and his wife and Ken's family and Mark's family know about him being gay, or was that discovered after he turned up missing?
I don't know for sure. I suspect that maybe they did, but he and his father didn't talk about that because, like I said, it was kind of frowned on back then. Now it's more openly accepted within my family. I have other family members who've come out as gay, but I have a feeling it was just one of those things they didn't talk about.
Right. So, but he's never come out and said, I knew my son was gay all along or anything like that. Now, the only reason why that's important to find out if he's gay or not is where to start looking. And I'm assuming the bar that he went to was probably a gay bar.
Yes.
And so that's why that's important. We don't care about his sexuality. That's his business.
Right.
But in this case, it's extremely important. Do you know if the police have interviewed any ex-lovers or, you know, any of his gay friends? Do you know anything about the people that have been interviewed?
That I don't know. When I talked to Ken, he had told me that it was a botched investigation from the beginning because at first they just assumed that he was an adult who went missing on his own. And then because I think he was an airline worker, it was handled by the Port of Portland police rather than regular law enforcement. And then they kept, one detective would retire and they would hand it off to somebody else who'd have to start all over again on the case.
So it just kind of hung there. And I'm sure back in 1999, it was a totally different time. You know, we're talking 15 years or so ago. And I'm wondering, and I don't mean to be accusatory to the police. Now, when you say the Portland police, do you mean the Port Authority police? The airport police. The airport police, right?
Ken said Port of Portland, so
all police departments, I think, have all airports have their own little police department, if I'm not mistaken. So,
right.
But you know, even back then, even though it really isn't, it is a long time ago, but it isn't. It's still back then. It was so different, and I'm wondering if they thought, oh, it's just some gay guy who disappeared, you know. Just
right.
Threw the file away, and I kind of have a feeling maybe that's what happened. Because you would think, now the reason why they think he is dead is because there was so much blood found. Did he have a home or an apartment?
I think he was living in a house, so I don't know if
he owned it. Okay, he was living in a house. But there was so much blood that basically that no way he could have, I'm assuming they've determined it was his blood, there's no way he could have survived this.
Right. They do have his DNA on file, and because I had checked with his parents because I was unclear about that, and so they have his DNA.
And do we know if there's any evidence in the car at all? Scorekeeper wants to know.
I don't know that.
I don't think they've even released that yet, unfortunately. Yeah. And that's a frustrating thing. Now, when your family, when Mark went missing, what happened in your family? Was it just total stress, everybody just absolutely freaking out, didn't know what to do, didn't know where to turn? I mean, I'm talking about the whole extended family. How did they take this?
Not
what did
really.
They do?
It just wasn't really talked about that much. I found out through my mother, who has since passed away. Kenny is her nephew, and she had printed up a flyer from, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Namus or Namus, in 2006, and that's Namus, how
right.
I had found out. But it was just kind of hush-hush. It was just, don't talk about it.
And why do you think that is? That's very interesting. Was it because he was gay, do you think?
That could have been part of it. It was. It's still very painful for Kenny and his wife.
Absolutely.
So I don't really know exactly why, but I think both of those play into it.
And I think we have to remember, too, that Kenny and people of that generation, you know, the older generation from the 20s, 30s, and 40s, that's how they handle problems. They don't talk about them.
Right.
If you don't talk about it, then you don't have to. That's why when all the World War II veterans came home, you never heard of post-traumatic stress syndrome, but you just had a lot of alcoholic veterans and violent veterans. You know, you just had all these people going crazy, but you never talked about it. And I can see that and add to the fact that he's gay and that shocking. If my parents would have had a gay child, they would have absolutely freaked out. They would have hung their heads in shame. They probably would have moved. They probably would have changed their name. It was a big deal to those people
right.
back then, you know, to the older, much older, the greatest generation, if you will. It was a horrible thing, and thank God it has changed now. One of the best things I think I ever did with my dad, who has since passed away, is I got him to understand that homosexuality is not a character flaw, and it's not a choice. And I said, could you choose to be gay, Dad? Could you choose to go off and have a relationship with a man? He says, well, hell no, of course I couldn't. I said, it's the exact same thing with gay people. They can't choose to have a heterosexual relationship with anybody. And anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I think the fact that his father is from that type of generation played into the fact that everybody kept real quiet. Now, there was a little bit of movement on the case in 2011. Is that correct?
There was. That's when a thread was started on Web Sleuth about him, and it was not started by myself. And I was really surprised because I had joined Web Sleuth after I found out my cousin was missing, because this happened back in 1999. And I had joined Web Sleuth, I think, in 2004, about the time that Lacey Peterson was murdered, as I wanted to express my opinions about what was happening with Scott Peterson. And so I've been a Web Sleuth member since 2004, but I had never talked about my cousin because there just wasn't a whole lot of information. And
sure.
I had never brought it up. And then suddenly in 2011, there's a thread started on him, and I see his name, and imagine my surprise.
Oh, yes. I can imagine. And plus, 2004, Web Sleuth was a totally different forum back then. I don't know how much. I can't remember. That's when I purchased it, but it was a lot smaller, and it was, I mean, you want to talk about night and day, a totally different form, and I don't know how much discussion was on there about missing people like there is now. But tell us about that. What did you do when you found out that your cousin had his own thread at Web Sleuth?
I immediately posted on the thread and said, let me know if you hear anything. This is my cousin. And then my next step was to get verified by one of the moderators as a family member.
Uh-huh.
And we went from there. I got in touch with my cousin Kenny. I saw him at a family party shortly after that, and I was able to ask a lot of the questions that Web Sleuth members had been posting to me that I didn't mm-hmm. know. And so I was able to talk with his parents and get some more of the information to add to it. I have attempted to contact the cold case detectives a couple of times, but I haven't heard back from them. But apparently another Web Sleuth member has gotten in touch with them successfully and said that they are monitoring the thread.
Oh, good.
So hopefully we will generate some new leads, some new interest in the case. I know that a lot more people have been viewing the thread.
Good. And one thing, I'll let you in on a little bit of behind the scenes at Web Sleuths. It actually isn't any secret, but law enforcement does monitor Web Sleuths very closely. And occasionally we do get subpoenas for information on someone posting. And we never know anything more than that. I don't know if the person they're asking about is a suspect or they just want to talk to them. But I do know that there have been several cases where the police were convinced that the person posting had direct knowledge of a case. So let's hope that, you know, somebody will come forward and say something about this case, because it needs to be done. You said you were able to ask Ken about certain things that Web Sleuths members were asking about when you saw him. Do you have any of those notes? Can you remember what you asked him, what you talked about?
One of the questions was Mark's shoe size, and that's something that his father didn't know because Mark was a grown man living on his own. Mm-hmm. We talked about how he was notified, and that's when Ken gave me the information about how the case was mishandled from the beginning. It took them until that November to notify him that it was a homicide. So it went from July to November before they had concluded that. Mm-hmm. And his parents told me that that their DNA was on file, and so was Mark's, but they weren't able to identify any DNA that the perpetrator may have left. And they did tell me that they were grateful for the new interest in the case, you know, because it had been a cold case. But it does bring up fresh pain for them, though, you know, because
sure,
thinking of their loss.
Absolutely. And how is Mark's mom doing?
I don't know. I know that she had fallen several months ago and broken her hip, and so she's been at home mending and recovering.
Mm-hmm. I guess she's just having the same problems that Ken is, obviously.
Right.
It's very
right.
difficult. Do you know Ken's brother, or do you know Mark's brother, Terry, at all?
I also have not seen him since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he's just going through the same hell that they're all going through.
Right.
Now, does Mark's family or anybody, have they set up a Facebook page about him, or is the only place that's talking about it is Web Sleuths?
As far as I know, Web Sleuths is the only place that's talking about it.
Well, maybe today, if somebody would like to undertake that, just to start a Facebook page about Mark, just so because that's where a lot of people go, is right to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we can link to it on Web Sleuths. If you just, all you need to do is start up a page, you know, give it, just have the information there, picture of Mark, cold case detective name and phone number, and maybe that will generate some interest. You know, somebody might be, know something and might look for Mark Driven in the Facebook, and up it'll pop, and maybe they can give a call to the police. This is so frustrating, Linus K., because there are so many missing people, and every missing person deserves the attention that all the big cases get, but most of them, 99.9% of the missing persons, don't have all the interesting little side stories that go along that captures everybody's interest in the media. A lot of the cases are like Mark's, a disappearance, there is evidence of a murder, and that's it. And unfortunately, in this day and age, for the media to take hold of the case, that's nothing. They need a lot more, and that's why Web Sleuths is so important. Now, if you go to websleuths.com/forums, scroll down to the Missing But Not Forgotten forum, click on the 1990s. That's where you'll find Mark's case. But we even have a section in the Missing forum that says pre-1960, I believe. And we even have missing cases from the 1920s. Now, that would be something if we could solve those. Linus K., do you know, and I should have asked you this beforehand, I don't want to put you on the spot, do you have the phone number for the cold case detective or the name of the detective by chance?
I do have it.
You do have it handy? Okay.
Yes, I do. Okay. Okay, it is Sergeant, I think it's pronounced Bahnson, Bahnson, and his phone number is area code 503-823-3333. Now, there is another cold case detective that I don't have his email handy, but had also been handling the case, and I think his name was Detective Findling. but I don't have his email handy. I thought that I had printed that out. There is a NAMUS number on the case. Okay, and I guess the police department case number is 99-1387. I also have numbers for Crime Stoppers and links for Doe Network and the Charlie Project and Project Jason.
And you have those on the forum, on the thread for Mark?
They are.
Great. So they can just go to, again, websleuth.com/forums, scroll down to the Missing But Not Forgotten, and click on the 1990s. Linus Kay, is there anything else you can remember from talking to Ken or talking with your family or just looking into this case? Is there anything else you can tell us? I don't care how small the detail is. I want to know. Is there anything else?
I have to think about that one.
Okay, think about that. We'll play the theme from Jeopardy while you think about that, okay? But just think about it for a moment, and I'll go to the chat room and see if anybody has any questions in the chat room. Let's see. Oh, somebody has already offered to start up a Facebook page. That's great. And how old was he when he disappeared? 42.
42.
According to one of our members, they talked to the cold case detective about Mark's case, and the detective said there is a lot of information that has not been released. Well, I don't see what it would hurt to release some of that now, just a little bit, to get more information out there, maybe spark a little interest. I know they have to hold something back, but if they could just, you know, drop us a little tidbit or something. Linus Kay, since you're a family member and you have spoken to these people, perhaps you could call the cold case detective and just say, hey, do you have anything that we can put on the forum, something new that will spark some discussion? And maybe he will release something. That would be wonderful if he would. Okay, have you thought of anything else yet?
Not offhand.
Okay, that's okay. Now, if you want to join Web Sleuths, you just go right in to websleuths.com or websleuths.com/forums. Click on register. And all we need from you is an email address. And we don't keep personal information. We don't ask for your name. We just need an email address so we can send you a notification that you are registered. That's all that is for. And then you can help with this case or the hundreds, if not thousands, of other cases on Web Sleuths just in the missing area. It'll break your heart if you go in there and take a look. And I can't tell you what a thrill it is to have a family member of a missing person contact Web Sleuths and say, you know, I was Googling my loved one's name and the only thing that came up was a Web Sleuths thread. So if you know of someone who is missing, even if you don't know them personally, you can always start a thread on Web Sleuths. You just need to have a police report. It needs to be a filed police report. It can't be, you know, a family dispute where someone ran away. It's got to have a police report with it. And then we can discuss it. And who knows what'll happen. Okay, Linus, no more. You didn't have any other thoughts, eh?
Not right offhand.
Okay, well, if you can think of anything else, just jump on the Web Sleuths thread and put it in there. Linus Kay, let's go over it again. It was Mark Dribben. He went missing over the 4th of July weekend, 1999. He said he had a personal emergency. That's why he had to leave his work. There was blood spatter in his home that was found. It was enough blood for the detectives to conclude that Mark is dead. It is a homicide. They found his car or Jeep or what, I'm not quite sure, a few miles away. We don't know if there is any evidence in that. We know Mark was gay. This could have been some sort of quarrel. We don't know, and that is it. That's all the information we really have, and that's sad because, again, Mark Dribben is just one of thousands of people out there, and the Dribbens just one of thousands of families going through this horrible, horrible situation. So, Linus Kay, thank you. Is there anything you would like to add before we go?
I hope that more people take an interest in this case and that we're able to generate some new leads and bring the perpetrator to justice and bring Mark home so that we can bury him.
Thank you. Thank you, Linus Kay from Web Sleuths. I really appreciate it. And before you go, let me tell you, next on Sunday's show, it's going to be a really different kind of show. It's going to be kind of amazing. A man named Tom North. He comes from that famous family. You remember the movie Yours, Mine, and Ours. It starred Henry Fonda, Lucille Ball in the 60s, and then Dennis Quaid and Rene Russo starred in the remake in the 2005 version. And it's based on a true story of a woman with 8 kids and a man with 10 kids, and they marry. And, of course, happiness and hilarity ensues, and everybody is happy. Well, in real life, that's not what happened. The dad was abusive and a horrid human being. The life of the children, the 18 kids in Yours, Mine, and Ours, was not good. It was horrific. In today's world, the parents probably would have been arrested and the kids put in foster care. But back then, just didn't happen. Anyway, Tom North, one of those kids, he's all grown up, and he feels like he has healed. He has healed through transcendental meditation. He's going to talk to us about his book, about his family life, and how he took care of his pain and made it go away. Linus K., thank you so very, very much. And do remember, the opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the ghosts and guests. Trisha, did I say ghosts? Jeez, are those of the hosts and guests. Sorry. Trisha's True Crime Radio is a completely separate entity from WebSleuths.com, LLC, and ForumsForJustice.org. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. I'm losing my mind. But I'll be here Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss true crime and current events, and we always do it with common sense. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.